Amen. Let's search our hearts today. Some people have called the communion table the table of grace. They wrote a song about that. I didn't bring it, but it's a beautiful song. It says, at the table of grace, you're always welcome. God opens His arms wide. Jesus opened His arms wide to allow them to drive those nails into His hands and through His hands. It wasn't through the palm of the hand, because it would tear loose from the pressure of the weight when He pushed up to breathe and let Himself go limp because of the pain, the agony, because several things were occurring on the cross. One was He was nailed to the cross. It's obvious He was nailed to that cross. But He was also smothering, slowly smothering to death as He was simultaneously bleeding to death. The blood was pouring out of the wounds that had already received before He ever was impaled on that cross or nailed to that cross. He was bleeding out, and He was asphyxiating in order to breathe because of the weight of His body and the position and the pressure on His lungs. He had to push with His feet up and pull up and take a breath. So all those things He said on the cross were not casual things. They came through pain. They came through agony. They came with oxygen that His lungs were bursting for in order to speak them. When He cried, "Father, forgive them," He didn't say it with, you know, just, "Father, forgive them." He had to push up and an incredible pain that we can't imagine. I can't imagine that kind of pain. They had already opened His back with a cat of nine tails, and they would take shards of the jars of clay. They would cut them into shards and pieces of metal, and they would tie it in the end of the braided leather, so when they hit Him with it and jerked back, it would tear pieces of flesh from His body. In Psalm 22, David is speaking, and then prophetically he's speaking about Christ, and Jesus quoted words from that psalm when He said, "My bones stare out of me." When that cat would come around His waist and yank it back close to His rib cage, it's thin. The skin is thin, and you could see bone through some of the places that it tore. Now, He could have called the angels of heaven. Yes, He's a victim. He's a Lamb of God being offered for you and for me. But don't think that He had to stay on that cross. You know what He said? "No man takes my life from me." If He didn't lay it down, no one could have took it from Him. "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it up again." Amen. Amen. And He proved that He had the power to lay it down because He laid it down. And He had the power to take it up again because He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. But it looked like He had no power at all. When we saw Him, Isaiah said, prophetic of the cross, the gospel in the old covenant, Isaiah 53, when we saw Him, there's nothing that we should desire Him. He was repulsive after the beating He took before they even nailed Him to the cross. Yeah. It would gag you. And they said, "This man must have done something terribly wrong for God to appoint him or allow him to suffer like he is suffering." The Bible said His visage, what you see in His fleshly body, was marred more than any man's. But also a visage that you can't see. There was a spiritual part of Him that dreaded the cross more than the pain. The Bible said He went to the cross despising the shame. "Cursed be everyone that hangeth on a tree." And yet He became a curse for us. that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Sin is transgression of the law. Yeah. Amen. And the penalty for transgressing the law is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice. But it wasn't a neat little thing that he did. It was something that caused people that saw it to say, what did he do so wrong to deserve this kind of punishment that he's receiving? Pilate said, I don't find any fault in him. God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then why is he on that cross suffering like this? I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. Peter tried to defend him when they came to arrest him, and he swung at a man with his sword, cut off his ear. By the way, he wasn't aiming for his ear. He wanted to take off his head. He wanted to kill him, defend Jesus. Jesus said, wait, put up your sword. You want to talk about power here today? Don't look. Yes, he is the Lamb of God. Dumb before his shearers, he held his peace. It's a good thing he did for all of us and all of them. He said, Peter, put up your sword. It's within my power. I could have called the armies of heaven. Well, I think we figured the math of it somewhere around 70,000 angels. And I always say this. More than 12 legions. And that led up to exceeding 70,000 angels. Let me tell you what angels can do. One angel was sent to deliver God's people from 185,000 troops and a king that wanted to kill them all and enslave them. One angel was sent. And 185,000 troops were dead by morning. They woke up dead. Amen. Now, what are you going to do with a dead army? The flies are already buzzing in that kind of area. One angel was sent. He could have called 70,000 plus. Can you imagine what would have happened if he did? Number one, everyone there that hated him, denied him, would have been destroyed. But not just their physical being, but their soul would have been lost forever, and so would ours. But he looked down through time. He saw you. He saw me. He saw all of humanity. And he saw where people would spend eternity if there wasn't a lamb offered in their behalf. And he became my and your sacrificed lamb. And as a lamb dumb before his shears, he could have called the armies of heaven, but he opened not his mouth. But he started talking on the cross in agony, and with what little breath he had left, his lungs bursting for air, he pushed up and he saw his mother standing, and he wanted his mother cared for. You talk about selflessness, just to allow them to do that to him. But now in all the agony and pain, he says to one of his disciples, behold thy mother. You take her in. You take care of her. He speaks from the cross. He feels abandoned. He feels alone like he's never felt alone from eons of time. I and my Father are one. Let us make man in our image. He was there at creation. The Bible said there was nothing made, nothing that you can see that he did not make. That's amazing. This Jesus that's allowing them to do this to him. To wit, God was in Jesus Christ on the cross, reconciling the world unto himself. He opened not his mouth. But when he began to open his mouth, he revealed what he was feeling, not just in his body and the pain that's unimaginable, but what he was feeling in his soul. He had a soul like we have a soul, even though he was God in flesh. And he cried, Eloi! Eloi, Lama Sabachthani, which in the Aramaic tongue, and he cried it loud, Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sabachthani, which being interpreted is my God, Eloi, Eloi, why hast thou forsaken me? Before he was in that place, taking our sin upon himself, when the Father could not look at our sin on him. There's a spiritual thing. It's a mystery. I don't fully understand it. I know he didn't have the comfort of his Father's presence. And yet, when everybody else forsook him, he said, my Father's always with me. Until something was being transferred from us to him on that cross. You know what it was? It was the sins of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. He died for the world. There's no unique group, no good person that was good enough for what he was doing. Amen. The worst person on this planet had the opportunity to receive the grace that he was going to provide through his sacrifice. He deserves more than my best. And yet that's all I have to give him. But he deserves far more than what most church services and most communion services represent. It's become a routine. It's become a ritual. Religion always does that without relationship. Without relationship, everything becomes routine and ritualistic. And when the heart's no longer in it, it don't mean anything to us anymore. We take grace for granted. And yet, this communion table, wherever it's setting, is a table of grace. And by grace you are saved through faith. It's the gift of God. No one can earn it. We Pentecostals, and I'm going to include myself because I grew up in a Pentecostal church, we thought we could, if we could just get it just right, we could earn it and take some credit for it. You can't earn it. You can't take any credit for it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. And I owe him big time. And you know what he asked of me? He asked me to do something that I pray we will do in this communion service, to offer your body. It's the first scripture you need to know if you want to get rooted and build up in Jesus, and you don't want to be part of the falling away, and you don't want to backslide on God. You need to get this scripture and get it firm in your heart and in your life. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. This is about the cross. This is about Jesus. This is about the reason grace flows from the cross. Amen. I beseech you by the mercies of God. I'm not just going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to consider what he has done for you in his agony, in his pain, in his suffering on the cross for you. And I want you to respond to that by offering him, not your leftovers, not what the world gets most of you and he gets what's left on Sunday. By the way, if the world gets most of you, I'm going to put it in plain, I know ain't is, I can say isn't, I just don't like to. Because I'm going to slip up and say ain't anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and say ain't. You ain't got nothing left to give him on Sunday. Oh, you can go through the motions, and so can I. We've all learned to do that. But you have nothing from your heart to give Jesus. So Paul said, let's get this settled as a foundation for your whole walk with God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of what he's done for you, that you offer your body, that means the whole of your being, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. King James says, which is your reasonable service. I like that. It doesn't tell the whole story, but it's only reasonable. If he's done this for me, what am I going to do for him? Go to church? And thank God you're in church. That is meaningful. God is watching. He's glad we're here today. Amen. He wants to hear our praises. Amen. He rejoices over us for singing. We don't just sing to Him. If you could hear Him right now in Him, He said to ancient Israel under the old covenant, I will rejoice over you with singing. And then He gets real personal with us. He said, thou shalt be dandled upon His knee. Isn't that incredible? God is that personal, precise, and yet it's all because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We get rid of the ritual. We get into the relationship. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Literally, some translators translate, which is your true spiritual worship. You know, if you don't really belong to the Lord, if you don't really give your heart to Him in a devotion that's deeper than just Sunday morning stuff, it won't be meaningful to you. You'll go out of here today, went through the ritual. I went to a church when I was on vacation. Sometimes I rarely get a vacation, have taken very few in 53 years of ministry. But we were in St. Augustine. I went to a church. No, take it back. We were here in Tampa. I got back, and somebody already taken care of Sunday for me, give me an extra day off, because I used to preach until I sweat through all my clothes and wore myself down back when I was younger. I still sweat, by the way. Amen. I use deodorant. It's going to be okay. I'll keep my arms down. Amen. Except when I lay hands on you. Listen. And it's time for communion. So there was a song service. It was very nice. I'm looking forward to Holy Communion, of just reiterating my first love for Him, to rekindle the flame of it. That all happens at the cross. It doesn't happen anywhere else, any way else. Anything else is emotionalism. And emotionalism is not the same as deep devotion to Jesus. We used to call it getting happy in Pentecostal circles. You should have been at church today. Lord have mercy. Amen. Pastor Venable ran around the building. I didn't know he could run like that. I have been known to get so overwhelmed and with the joy of the Lord, I just took off running. But when I'm through running, I have a walk to walk with the Lord. And He tells me to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. And it takes a devotion to do that, not just emotion. Emotion will carry you to the parking lot, but it won't carry you any further. It will not carry you past the parking lot, but devotion will take you through whatever you have to face. But it won't come until you reciprocate love to Him. You just simply love Him back for loving you. That's what Paul is saying. Love Him back for loving you. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer freely your whole being. Not just this, you know, a real disciple is not. I'm glad you're at church today. Thank God you're here. But I want you to be in Christ when you leave here. And with Christ when you leave here. I don't want you to be defeated. God doesn't want you to get just enough to get rid of the conviction of whatever's defeating you. He wants you in victory, but He needs your wholehearted commitment. And some people don't want that challenge. We like the ritual because we get in, we get it on, we get it over with. And in that particular communion service, we got in, we got it on. Boy, it was a good praise service. And now, of course, then there were some announcements, and now they're coming to service communion, and they're playing, sound like a funeral dirge on the piano, and you want us to sympathize with Jesus, and that's okay, but that's not enough. He wants our heart. He wants us to love Him back for that kind of sacrifice, that kind of love, and this kind of grace. Hallelujah. Without it, nobody goes to heaven. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody will ever be good enough without the grace of God. For without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. Whatever religion you've heard about or maybe participated in, without the blood of Jesus, not just blood generally, but specifically, without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Amen. It's not just the name. The name represents the person and the sacrifice offered. There's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus. Why does he make that claim? No man comes to the Father except by me. Why does he make that claim? Because it was his blood, the only blood, that God would accept. How do you know God accepted it? The Bible said when he raised him from the dead, he was raised for our justification. What God is saying is, if you put your trust in him and what he's done for you, you are justified in my sight. There may be people not forgive you, but I've forgiven you. Your conscience may try to accuse you, but I am not accusing you any further. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil's going to accuse you because he's the accuser of the brethren, according to Revelation. But I do not accuse you. And I'm so glad to have that in my life, to know I had been in church. I got saved when I was 12 years old. I fell away, and when I fell away, I fell way away. And I went deep into sin because I didn't know what you're hearing today. I didn't devote my heart, my life. I just took the gift and took it for granted. So I fell away because I wasn't devoted to Christ. He doesn't want just your sympathy. He wants you to love him back for loving you, and to love him back enough to offer your whole being unto him. That means you're not yourself. You don't belong to you anymore. And that's a good deal, Brother Taylor. Amen. The Bible said you're bought with a price and you're not your own. But you are your own until you give yourself away. Even though you're not your own, because he's bought and paid for you with his own shed blood. But you're going to be your own until you give yourself away. The reason you don't have joy, if you don't have it, you haven't yet given yourself away. And there's a conflict going on. Because what God wants is you to give yourself away. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, for me to live is Jesus Christ. Period. Everything is from him. In him we live, move, breathe, have our being. Can you say amen? Not about church and religion and ritual. It's about him and what he's done at the cross for us. And it causes a first love to be kindled. And if it starts to go out, it can be rekindled. That's the good news. Ephesus had a wonderful testimony according to Jesus. Revelation says unto the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians write, I know thy works, how they can't stand them that are evil. You've tried them that said they're apostles and are not, and you've found them to be liars. You're standing true to the word. You're bearing up under persecution. Sounds like the model church. All these credentials and commendations from Christ. But he said, I've got something against you. I've got something against you. And this one thing was so vitally important. It was going to cost them his presence in their midst. You know what happens when there's no presence of God and no conviction and no word from the Lord? You know what happens? We better beef it up with all kinds of entertainment in the name of worship. Entertainment in the name of worship. We have a good time. We are involved emotionally. But spiritually, you can be just as dead as somebody out on that street and be in church, clapping your hands, stomping your feet. Paid song leaders, they're not going to come out there. My son played in a pop band. He had a talent for the Lord. He used it for the devil. And he said something. He said, we do not go out on a stage with a bunch of people in a club somewhere and go out looking sad and do this, ding, ding, ding. We go out fired up. We flip that switch and turn it on. Behind the scenes, they were doing drugs in a motel room, drinking in a motel room. But on the stage and platform, they were on top of the world. But they came out really ready to get people lifted up, to lift them up. And there are worship teams that do the same thing. I'm so brokenhearted when I hear of people that have written wonderful songs, sang them to the Lord so beautifully that it moved my heart to worship. And yet they themselves were phony. And they themselves just fell away as if what they were saying and singing meant absolutely nothing, because there was no devotion in their heart to Jesus Christ. Yeah. You can sing about Him. Amen. You can sing with a choir about Him, but that doesn't mean you're going to follow Him in your life, because it starts with self-denial. Yeah. It goes on and progresses to taking up your cross and actually following Him instead of them. Who are them, Pastor? You know who they are. It's the people that we try to please at the expense of not pleasing God, because we'd rather have their embrace than His blessing. I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody. I love my wife, but if she ever backslid, she's going to be back there by herself. She's not going to drag me back there. Amen. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? I love you, but if you backslide, I'll pray for you. I'll pray God give you a whooping of your life. That's what I'll pray. If you belong to Him, you're going to have some trouble out in sin. You are not going to be happy. How do you know? Because you don't come in here happy. And that's telling. Anyhow, moving right along. I know I'm stepping on toes, but listen, I'd rather the preacher rock the boat then the devil wrecked the boat. That's right. Because he's hell bent on your destruction. I'm here hell bent on your instruction. I want to instruct you today. Amen. I'm a pastor. I don't run when the wolf comes. And the wolf doesn't just come by people coming against us. It's people sitting right here that take it all for granted and grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. And you can feel it. It settles in. I'm not going to try to preach over it, but I'm going to preach anyway. Amen? That one day that's going to change. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your true spiritual worship. Now listen to this. And be no more conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove or exemplify what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Somebody said one time, well, this is not the perfect will of God, but it's the acceptable will of God because of grace. Oh, quit it. Quit it. He wants you to be like His Son. He'll never give up. That's His that's your destiny. If you're not there yet, you've got somewhere to go. Can you say amen? Somewhere to grow. I'm not there. I've been preaching, seeking, reading, amen, trying to offer my best since I became a Christian. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not there yet. But something I'm here to tell you, I belong to Him. Amen. Lock, stock, amen, and barrel. Yes. What does that mean? I have no idea, but I've heard it all my life. Have you ever heard that? You haven't? Getting an education today. Lock, stock, and barrel. I guess in the old days, if they had a pickle barrel and a cracker barrel and they had a lock and a stock. Amen. But whatever it was everything. lock, stock, and barrel. The whole of me belongs to Him. Amen. Are you just like Him? No. Do you want to be? Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. I heard a preacher sing one time. Man, he said, I'm running, trying to make 100. Because 99 and a half just won't do. I thought if 99 and a half won't do, we're in trouble. Amen. Because nobody's going to make 100 till we get to heaven. Thank you for the two murmurs and several amens. Nobody is going to make 100. We're going to have to be changed. But until we are, in that moment, twinkling of an eye, until that occurs, progressively, God is working. It's God that worketh in you. Both to will, reveal His will that you might yield and cooperate with it, and to give you the power to do according to His good pleasure. What would that be, Pastor Venable? I'm so glad you asked that question. The Bible said, for whom He did foreknow, Romans 8, 30, 31, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. You want to hear some more about that? Thank you. Just a little bit more before communion. He has said in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, till we all come to the unity of the faith, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I've never seen so many confused Christians that can't figure out that we got a Bible that is more authoritative than anybody on television. Amen. We got a Bible. I had a dream one night. It was just a dream, but I know why I dreamed it. I had a dream one night that I was in a Christian bookstore. It was the biggest Christian bookstore I had ever seen. And in this dream, it wasn't a spiritual dream. It's just something I cooked up in the way I think. I think my subconscious took over, but I liked the dream. In this bookstore, you ever go in a Christian bookstore and see all of these writers of books, mega church writers? You want a mega church, you want a car like this, you want perfect health, you want all this wealth, just read this book that I wrote. Because I'll give you a scripture and I'll tell you something and you'll have all of this. And this whole Christian bookstore with all of these books that Christians are desperately thumbing through trying to be like that guy or that gal instead of Jesus. Instead of Jesus. Instead of Jesus. That guy and that gal is flawed. Oh, before you're too hard on them, so are you. And I don't think you'll put me on a pedestal, but so am I. The more you know me, the more you'll see some flaws in me. I was expecting a bigger way, man. But thank you for being gracious to me today. I'm being honest with you. In this dream, all of these books, suddenly, like the old cartoons, you know, they were kind of stick arms and stick legs in the early cartoons. They all had arms and legs. And all the books on the shelves that people had written, there might be some good stuff, worthy stuff, but there's nothing replacing the Word of God. Amen. And a big old Bible just jumped off and stood in the middle of the bookstore. And every one of the books that people had written, even using little parts of the Bible, they came and they bowed down to the inerrant, eternal Word of the living God. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but Brother So-and-so's book will remain forever. Sister Hoopendicker's Word, because she's a prophetess, it'll abide forever. The world will be gone. New heavens, new earth. But that book is going to remain. No, it isn't. Oh, they're not going to remain either. But they're going somewhere when they die. And we better get away from what they have to say. We better get into what God has said. Because He stands by it and He backs it up. He watches over His Word to perform it. Hath He not said it, and shall He not do it? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, all of it. That's why I love the Word of God, and I love the God of the Word. I love the Lord. I want to love Him more. I want to love Him better after communion than before I came into this building. And I came in here loving Him, but I can love Him more. There's room for more devotion in my own heart, my own life. I get distracted. I get busy. I neglect the Word. I neglect prayer when I do that. And I miss it. I quit making Bible studies on Wednesday because nobody would listen to 30 minutes. Minute and a half, some of them get 1,500 views. 90 seconds, you get more views than that if it's 30 seconds. I'll spend 30 seconds listening to somebody say something from the Word of God about God, but I'm not going to spend 30 minutes. I will not spend 30 minutes. And I told Doug, this is, you know, the reason I'm doing this? It's not because I don't have the time. I'll make the time if people are hungry enough to receive. But it's that casting pearl before swine principle. Don't cast your pearl before swine. You're not swine. Nobody is. And God's not looking at anybody. He gave Himself for us. He highly elevated the worst of us. But He said a pig has no more regard for a pearl than people do who hear the gospel and treat it like they treat it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Pig don't care about, and not only that, they'll turn and rend you. They'll bite you. You're trying to give them something precious, but they'd rather have slop. Right. They'd rather wallow in the mud. If you've been in the world all week, thank you for taking a bath and putting on deodorant. But spiritually, you still stink. Because you can't go out in this world and not get... I got a dog. The dog I had, Sophie. Big old Sophie. I love big old Sophie. But if she saw something dead by the road, she loved the smell of it so much that she'd just run over and wallow in it to get the scent on her. And then I've got to get her home. And I had to drag her away from some old bloated possum about to blow up with gases from decomposition. But to her, oh boy, I can't get enough. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God there's a difference. I thank God that repulsed me. I'm so glad I didn't want to go wallow on that old dead possum. Amen. Amen. Something happened to me. It may not have happened to you yet, but one day I pray it will. Amen. Something happened to me, Brother Taylor. That dead stuff, that rotten stuff, that filthy stuff stinks. I don't want that stink on me. There's not enough cologne to cover it up. Did you hear me? You can get all the old spouse that you have in your house. Busta Rhyme, Pastor Busta Rhyme. Can you say, man, and sprinkle it all over you? But spiritually, it's going to be a stench in the nostrils of God. You'll have the world on you, clinging to it. It'll cling to you. It clung to her. I had to get her off of the possum, drag her home, take her out in the backyard because she'd stink the whole house to high heaven, and give her a bath. And I mean give her a double bath, because dead, bloated possum don't come off easy. You wonder why I preach as long as I do? The world is like that old dead, bloated possum by the road. If you wallow in it all week, your spirit is contaminated by it. Amen. The Bible said, are you ready for this? I'm almost done, but I'm not even started, but I'm going to just have to quit. Despising even the garment spotted by the world. Despising it? I worked for Tampa Electric. We went out on a call. There's a new trailer parked And they had a new septic tank put in, but they had an old septic tank where an old trailer used to be that had been pulled away to junk. It had grew up knee-high in the weeds. I was driving a line truck. I had a lineman, two linemen with me with bucket trucks, and we were pulling in to set a new pole to run power to the new trailer. And suddenly my truck went sideways. That old septic tank lid broke, and my front wheel went down, and the cement over top caved into it. And so I had a guy pull my truck out with a winch on his truck, pull me right back out. And now we know there's a septic tank right in these weeds right here. Yeah. It's 10 o'clock at night, 10 or 11. And we're out there trying to get power to somebody. So they call the mechanic from the yard. He comes in a little green pickup truck. He's prepared. It's been raining. He has those boots that come up to your knee, rubber boots, and he comes clumping out there. And my foreman says, "Be careful. There's a septic tank right here. All the lights of the truck are pointing to it, but you can't see it." And he said, because he's supposed to certify my truck to drive back in, make sure there's no axle broke or something underneath. And he's just tromping right along like nothing happened. And we heard a splash. How many know the contents of an old septic tank that's been there for years and needed pumping out, and how deep it is? Have you ever heard the term deep doo-doo? He understood that very clearly, because he was neck deep in doo-doo. He should have been thankful his head didn't go under. Oh, I want you to see the world for what it is and see Christ for who He is and make a decision in your life. Amen. The devil can show me all this stuff, but I know what's behind it. I know what's behind it. Amen. There's nothing but death, decomposition. This world is passing away and the works and the lust of it. But the kingdom of God is forever. I'm a Christian. I don't want the stench of it on me. I don't want it on my clothes. I don't want it in my nostrils. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I do not have a love for this world. I have a warning from God to not love it, nor the things that are in it. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. And the world passes away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Hallelujah. So he's neck deep in a septic tank. And now, no one is moving. Nobody wants to get near him. There's a stench. And now, he stinks just like that septic tank. There's something called a switch stick. And I used to use it when a lineman was busy. I could hit a switch with it. It telescopes out. And I telescoped it out to him as far as it would go. And I backed off. I didn't want to get close. I backed off. And then I pulled him. And he come out. And my foreman was shaking his head. He was just shaking his head. He could not believe that he had pointed out right where it was. And that guy had walked right over in it. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. It looks like something out of a comic book. It's just crazy. Your flesh is crazy. Can you say, man? It'll lead you into things that'll mess you up. If you don't deal with it, it's going to deal with you. And it ain't going to be pretty. And you can't just shake it off. So you got to do something about it. And it takes devotion. And that's what Holy Communion is meant to bring in us, a deep devotion to Jesus Christ. Something that says, when I leave here, I am God's. I am not the world's. I don't belong to the devil. I don't belong to that crowd. I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been bought with a price. I am not my own. And today, I'm going to give myself away to Him. I beseech you, brethren. We pulled him out. My foreman's shaking his head. He said, son, didn't I tell you there was a septic tank right there? And he was very humble and very honest. He said, I heard you. He said, didn't you hear me? He said, I heard you, but I wasn't listening. How many people hear the Word of God, but they don't listen? They don't take it to heart because their heart is not devoted to Christ. So it's just a book. It's not His Word. Because if His Word gets in your heart and my heart and our heart, it in and of itself, all by itself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it'll shine a light on every pitfall, every trap of the devil. It will become, oh hallelujah, a lamp unto your feet, David said. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. It'll keep you out of all of the pollutions and all of the temptations and all of the traps of the devil, praise God. Hallelujah. How many want the word to become more than just this, a book? It'll become something alive in you, alive in me, praise God. Hallelujah. The words Christ speaks to us is spirit and it's life. Hallelujah. They sent another guy out to drive that pickup truck back. He brought his own pickup truck. And we saw them. And if I could have took a picture, if I had a camera, took a picture of this guy hunkered down in the back bed of a little pickup truck with his head down going back into the plant. And I know where he was headed. He's going to the bathroom. He's going to strip naked because there's nothing, you can't wipe that. You just, and I don't know how he got home, but I'm sure if he's married that his wife didn't greet him with a big old hug. Amen. I heard you, but I wasn't listening. When a man hears the word and does it not, he's like a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. He sees it. You see yourself. You see your need. It's not to condemn you. It's to convince you that you need to let God do something in your life. Devote it. Give it all to Him so He can. Be clay in the potter's hand, and He will make the vessel, and a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use. But it'll take the Holy Spirit. You're not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. Brother Taylor isn't strong enough without the Holy Spirit helping us. Amen. But He's here to help us. But He's got to have your willingness. Amen. And my willingness. Offer free will. Your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be no more conformed to the world. That word conform means pressed into the world's mold. Amen. You're under pressure through media, through music, through peer pressure from the people around you that are not saved, and some Christians, so-called, that are not living as a saved person. You're under the pressure to compromise. Amen. Don't let the world push you into its mold. Amen. Because God has a mold for you. Amen. And He won't push you into it. Amen. But if you give yourself to Him, you'll find yourself be no more pressed into the world's mold, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That we might exemplify a work in progress, but making progress. How many have ever started out for God and stumbled? How many got up and went on? That took devotion. Keep developing that, because it'll get you up when the devil wants to keep you down. He wants you to fail and give up on God because you think God's going to give up on you. Got news for you. If you got saved, He began a good work in you. He started this work of transformation. He wants us to cooperate and follow through, but it's His work by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Religion didn't do it, but a relationship with Him did. He that began a good work in you will perform it. How long? Until the day of Jesus Christ, till He comes for us. God's going to be working in us. And it's God that worketh in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. Hallelujah. We used to sing it in surrender. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. One last scripture. Listen, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what the word delight means in the Hebrew? I know what it means everywhere else. I mean, my son delighted in me when we were in Kmart near the toy aisle. He actually said to me, "You're the best daddy in the world." And I knew instinctively we're near the toy aisle. Because last time that I had to restrict him on something, I was not the best daddy in the world. But now suddenly that's all changed. And not only is he telling me how wonderful I am, he's pulling that way. And so I told him, I said, "Son, Daddy don't have the money to buy you a toy today. I left Tampa Electric to go full-time ministry. We had to get groceries before toys back in the day." Amen. And, oh, he had an answer for that too. He said, "Well, write a check." Whoa, why didn't I think of that? If you have no money, write a check. It'll bounce like a rubber ball, but write a check. Take me to the Hoosh Cow. Hoosh Cow's a jail for you city folk, anyway. I don't want my garments spotted by the flesh. I don't want the devil's influence. I don't want him having an inroad into my life. And I want to encourage you, if you've fallen in the septic tank, in a trap, Jesus won't extend to you some stick because He don't want to get close to you. He will personally come. He will take your stinking hand and pull you out of that mess. But when He pulls you out, David put it this way, "He lifted me from the miry clay where I was so embedded I couldn't get myself, I couldn't extract myself." But He didn't just lift me out. He set my feet on a rock. He brought me out and established me so I wouldn't just keep sliding back in again and again and again. I guarantee you, that guy in the back of that pickup truck, when he finally got a bath, and I believe he used all the hot water in the hot water tank and most of the soap, and he probably put on cologne after that, and he probably had to sleep on the couch anyway. Not because he still stank, but his wife just didn't want to, when she heard the story, she didn't want to sleep with anybody that stupid. I mean, Give him time. Give her time to adjust to that kind of craziness. You did what? It's going to be okay, Brother Taylor. Amen. We'll get through it. When he pulls you out, he wants to establish you, but he needs your devotion to do it. He needs you to love him back with enough love to create a devotion that'll keep you through these times that may come in your life. And if he's pulled you out, you have more reason to be devoted, because only grace could do that. That guy deserved to spend the night neck deep in you know what. But by grace, we pulled him out. God will pull you out. He'll clean you up. But he will establish you so that you don't just keep falling back. Most people backslide because they fail God. And they say, I've tried and failed. He will not help me anymore. There's no need me trying to serve him anymore. It's a lie from the devil. Amen. Amen. You're highly qualified for the unmerited favor of God, for the mercy and grace that flowed from that cross and from Christ himself on that cross. I don't want to fail him, but if I do, I'll never give up. Haul me out, Lord. Pull me out and put my feet on a rock. And the Bible said the humble shall hear of it. They'll hear about David's failure. They'll hear about the mercy that pulled him out and reestablished him and blessed him to go forward. And they'll be glad themselves, because they'll know there's hope in the mercy of God. There's hope in the grace of God. There's hope because of the goodness of God. And all God needs from you and me is a wholehearted devotion to him. I love you, Lord. Here am I. We used to sing it. I pray in your heart, it will be in your heart after communion. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to thee, I freely give. You see that in scripture, Romans 12, in song. All to thee, I freely give. Freely give. Once that occurs, the devil won't quit coming. The flesh will still be weak, but your spirit man will be strong, and it will be strengthened and shored up by the Holy Spirit himself. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's what it means to be spirit filled. It's not having been baptized in the Holy Ghost back in the day. It's a daily manifestation of God's power to help you and to help me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. It's not just talking about alcohol. It's talking about the cares of this life. It's talking about being so inebriated with so many things in the world that we're just drunk on it. Be not drunk with wine. Jesus put it this way. Beware. Big sign. Don't miss this. Beware that your heart be not overcharged with surfeiting. That's banqueting. Nothing wrong. How many are going to go eat a good meal after this? How many would like to do it without conviction? Me too. I want to eat all I want. Amen. As long as these buttons don't fly off and put anybody's eye out, I can eat a little more. They're under pressure. But anyhow, beware lest thine heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life. So that day will not overtake you as a thief. For as a snare, it will come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Don't be caught up in the world. Be caught up in Christ. Live for him. Love him back for loving you. Serve him for the sacrifice he made on that cross. Behold thy mother. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died as a God-forsaken man without losing his divinity, for he was God incarnate. But he knows what every lost person is going to experience when the door to the ark is closed and there's no help from God at all. He experienced that feeling on that cross, and it held him even tighter to that cross. Because he don't want you to miss heaven. Because the devil tricked you and told you some sin is worth your soul. And it isn't. No sin is worth your soul. And only Christ can do this. And only by the Holy Spirit can he do this. So in communion today, he said, when you eat this bread that's been torn in half, think of my body. Torn. And this blood that is in type, think of my blood that was shed. My body and my blood, my suffering, my pain, so I could grant grace to you. Don't miss it. Psalmist said, you know how I'm going to repay him? I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I'm going to take the cup of salvation. I'm going to receive what God is offering me. I'm not going to miss this chance for such grace and such mercy in my life. Can you say amen? Amen. How many know this communion? The communion I was in, it was over before you could even say anything, and the announcements were starting to be made because some shindig was coming up and they wanted to make sure everybody showed up. And I thought we just ran past the cross. And we were not challenged by it to devote our heart deeper and more fully to Christ. And without the first love, we lose the candlestick. Yeah. I have something against you. With all the commendations, you've left your first love. Yeah. Repent and do your first works. I'm going to read my Bible more. That's not what it's talking about. It'll lead to that. That's not what it's talking about. I'm going to pray more. That's not even it. Your first work didn't begin when you became a Christian by reading more or praying more. It began by kneeling before the Lord and knowing Jesus died on this cross for me. It was at the cross where you first saw the light. It was at the foot of the cross where your heart was made soft and pliable in his presence, and that deep devotion began to come. Before religion became ritualistic and communion became routine. But it's not like that today. Hallelujah. And that, I don't blame him. Praise God. Some of you would do the same thing if we wouldn't laugh at you. Because I have no pacifier to give you. But God has been good. Have you been challenged here today as we receive communion? And I'm glad he's making some noise and being happy. His heart, I'm going to say it, his heart, I believe, is being healed. Amen. However it comes, his heart is being healed. Because we serve a good and gracious, faithful God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry? He was clapping his hands? All right, well, I'm going to preach some more. No, I'm not. We're here to receive communion. The same night Jesus was betrayed, he could have threw up his hands and said, they ain't worth it. They ain't worth it. And he'd be right. I'm not worth his blood. I'm not worthy of his suffering. That's the glory of it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You'll never be worthy of the blood. But we both preach this, don't we, Brother Taylor? But everybody that's come to Jesus is worthy as a result of the blood and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So right now, let's take the cup of salvation. This is my body broken for you. As every time you do this, and consider that, do it in remembrance of me, suffering and dying for you. You may eat the wafer as a type of his broken body for us. And thank you, Brother Sean, Sister, Brother Sean, for helping me with this today. My wife is not here. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're not just going to give thanks, we're going to live thanks. We thank you, Lord. He lifted up the cup, said, "This is the new covenant in my blood shed for many, the sins of many." Thank God I was one of the many when I surrendered, came to Jesus, said goodbye to Satan and sin in the world. Now, are you still tempted? Yes. But I know something. I know what's in. What that grass is hiding. It's a trap for me, and I don't want to fall in it. But if you fell in it, he will pull you out. And if you'll give your heart to him for that kind of love and mercy, he will put your feet on a rock. Can you say amen and establish you in the faith? And the devil can't hornswoggle or hoodwink you anymore. Praise God. As we drink this cup, thank him for the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus. We thank you for staying on that cross until you cried, "It is finished." And the work was done. Hallelujah. And it won't be undone if we don't undo it. In Jesus' name, you may drink the cup. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's a better grade of grape juice, but every time I take communion, it's getting sweeter. Maybe I'm just getting hungry. But I am hungry for God today. And then they sang a hymn and went out. So we're going to sing a hymn before we go out today.